Case number 42 in the Wu Min Quan. Manjushri and the young woman in Samadhi. The case reads, once Manjushri went to a place where many Buddhas had assembled with the world-honored one. When he arrived, all the Buddhas had returned to their original dwelling place. Only a young woman remained seated in Samadhi near the Buddha's seat. Manjushri addressed the Buddha and asked, how can the young woman get near the Buddha's seat when I cannot? The Buddha replied to Manjushri, awaken this young woman from her samadhi and ask her yourself. Manjushri walked around the young woman three times, snapped his fingers once, took her to the Brahma heaven and exerted all his supernatural powers, but he could not bring her out. The world-honored one said, even 100,000 Manjushris cannot awaken her. Down below, past 1,200 million lands, as innumerable as the sands of the Ganges, lives the Bodhisattva of delusive wisdom in the early stages of practice. He will be able to bring her out of samadhi. Instantly, the Bodhisattva of delusive wisdom emerged from the earth and made bows before the world-honored one, who gave his imperial order. Delusive wisdom stepped before the young woman, snapped his fingers once, and at this she came out of samadhi. Wu Min's commentary. The comedy old Shakya puts on in the stage here is a great hodgepodge. Just tell me now, Manjushri is the teacher of the seven Buddhas. Why couldn't he get the young woman out of her samadhi when the Bodhisattva of delusive wisdom, a beginner, could? If you can firmly grasp this point, then for you, this busy life of ignorance and discrimination will be the life of the dragon samadhi. And Wu Min's verse. One can awaken her, the other cannot. Both of them are free. A god mask, a devil mask. The failure is wonderful indeed. Unlike most of the koans which we study in our lineage, which are about the sayings and doings of the ancient Zen masters, particularly those of the Chinese Tang era, this one has the form of a story from ancient India. According to Robert Aitken Roshi, it was published in a Chinese sutra around the year 300 of the Common Era. This would be well before the Tang, and even prior to Bodhidharma's arrival in China. It is, as Wu Min rather irreverently puts it, a comedy, a great hodgepodge. We have four characters, actors in this little drama. Who are they? Let's take a look at them. We have Manjushri. Manjushri is the Bodhisattva of transcendental wisdom, the part of our Buddha nature that transcends all distinctions of right, wrong, male, female, ignorance, enlightenment. At the very beginning of every session, the Manjushri figure is enshrined upon the altar as part of the opening ceremony. Our Manjushri here is seated on a lotus throne, but he is often shown sitting on a lion, the symbol of courage and resolution. He wields the sword that cuts through all delusions to remind us of why we are here in Sesshin. He is also the teacher of the seven Buddhas, Vipassana Buddha, Shikhin Buddha, Vishvabha Buddha, Prakachanda Buddha, Kanakamuni Buddha, Kashyapa Buddha, Shakyamuni Buddha, all former students of Manjushri. Then there is a young woman in Samadhi. She is not a great wisdom being, but an ordinary person, sitting zazen near the Buddha's seat. She's doing the best she can, just like you and me. There is the bodhisattva of delusive wisdom, whose name is Momyo. He is a beginner, too, in the early stages of practice. And he's doing the best he can, like you and me. And then there is Buddha Shakyamuni, world-honored one. He is the producer-director, the magician that sets it all in motion. Once Manjushri went to a place where many Buddhas had assembled with the world-honored one. Many Buddhas assembled. All Buddhas throughout space and time. From the very beginning, all beings are by nature Buddha. Where do you suppose that meeting is taking place? And who all is really there? When he arrived, all the Buddhas had returned to their original dwelling place. Their original dwelling place. I wonder, if they had not returned to this original place, would Manjushri have arrived anyway? And where is that place? Is it off somewhere in their Buddha land, as numerous as the sands of the Ganges? Where is your original place right now? And can you return there? Did you ever leave it? Is that even possible? Only a young woman remains seated in Samadhi near the Buddha's seat. Dear me, why is she still there? Didn't she get the memo? Manjushri addressed the Buddha and asked, "How can the young woman get near the Buddha's seat when I cannot?" Is this a complaint? If anyone is seated at Buddha's right hand, shouldn't it be Manjushri? Well, Manjushri is giving us a teaching. He is demonstrating something. He could be said to be quizzing his old pupil. "Okay, hotshot, why can this woman get near you and I cannot?" A challenge to the Buddha and to each one of us. Buddha replies, "Awaken this young woman from her samadhi and ask her yourself." Like a good Zen master, he throws the question right back upon Manjushri. Thereupon, Manjushri walks around the young woman three times, snaps his fingers, takes her to the Brahma heaven, and exerts his supernatural powers, the whole bit. He really puts on a show. But no dice. What are these guys up to anyway? These two are working together for our benefit, acting out their parts like puppets on a stage. If old Manjuko had succeeded in awakening her, what then? Would he really be Manjushri? If he had succeeded, I would have given him 30 blows and chased him out of the temple. It wouldn't be the first time. Once Manjushri appeared in the kitchen where Shui Feng was working as Tenzo and announced his presence. Shui Feng threatened him with a ladle and chased him off. Why did Shui Feng refuse to accept Manjushri's presence in the kitchen? Now the Buddha explains further. Even 100,000 Manjushris cannot awaken her. But, he continues, down below, past 1,200 million lands, as innumerable as the sands of the Ganges, lives the Bodhisattva of delusive wisdom in the early stages of practice. He will be able to bring her out of samadhi. Oh boy, 1,200 million lands, as innumerable as the sands of the Ganges. A very long way indeed. Or maybe just outside the Zendo. Or maybe sitting right here on your mat. In any case, the fourth member of this drama, the Bodhisattva of delusive wisdom, is way down the hierarchy. But he emerges instantly. Well, maybe he wasn't so far away after all. Or maybe he was. Doesn't matter. But why did he appear just at that moment? How did he know? Bodhisattvas are like that. The bodhisattva in any of us can show up unexpectedly at just the right moment. But we don't always recognize them. They don't always recognize themselves. How often do we hear or read about some extraordinary selfless act of courage or compassion by an ordinary person? And when they are asked about it, they say something like, "I don't know, I just did it." Or, "I was just doing my job." No thought of being or doing anything special. Many years ago, there was a massive prisoner uprising at Attica Penitentiary in upstate New York. And something like 50 hostages were taken, guards and visitors. When the negotiations failed, the governor, Nelson Rockefeller, ordered the National Guard to storm the prison. In the ensuing melee, many prisoners and hostages were killed. Later, one of the hostages who had survived told the story of how he was being held by one particular convict, a huge guy who was in for a long list of violent crimes. When the shooting started, the convict yelled, "I can't let you die, man!" Threw the hostage onto the ground and shielded him with his own body. The convict took the bullet and died. Even in the most despised of all of us, the bodhisattva can appear. So here is this particular bodhisattva, delusive wisdom. He bows and, according to orders, snaps his fingers in front of the woman, and voila, she awakens. Do you think that you could bring her out of samadhi? What is it about Momyo that he could awaken this young woman and Manjushri could not? Are not all beings Buddha? Are we not all the same? No, we are not. Oneness is not sameness. Each being, each Buddha, has a role to play. A few years ago, I drove up the Redwood Highway through Northern California and Oregon. I stopped several places along the road in the various pullouts and walked out among the giants. What a sight they were. Great, rough-barked boles that literally disappeared into the low clouds. There was a great silence, and I was in awe. But in such a place, if you dig a few inches into the soil, what will you find? You will see bugs and beetles and termites and spiders and centipedes running around, and worms and slimy things that you don't even want to know what they are. Yet without all these creepy crawlies, could the magnificent redwoods survive? Whatever we are in this web, whether we know it or not. Great teachers, captains of industry and commerce, workers, the homeless, the lame, the blind, the chronically ill, the residents of nursing homes, hospices, prisons, animal shelters, the people and the rats and the garbage dumps of Mumbai and Mexico City. Those who are tortured, those who torture. Those who kill and those they kill. Those who serve and those who are served. Each being, all that breathes and does not breathe, is a member, an organ of the whole. But more than that, each being, Shakyamuni, Manjushri, the young woman, you and I, is the whole. Woman's commentary. The comedy old Shakya puts on the stage here is a great hodgepodge. Just tell me now. Manjushri is the teacher of the seven Buddhas. Why couldn't he get the young woman out of samadhi when the bodhisattva of delusive wisdom, a beginner, could? If you can firmly grasp this point, then for you the busy life of ignorance and discrimination will be the life of the dragon samadhi. Dragon samadhi, wow. In Asian folklore, the dragon is the metaphor for enlightenment. And it is in no way different from the busy life of ignorance and discrimination. The real nature of ignorance is the Buddha nature itself. The empty dilusory body is the very body of the Dharma, says Yongja in the Song of Enlightenment. Ordinary mind is the Tao, but only if viewed properly. Only if it is lived, not just in the usual way, but lived as a life of practice. Wu Men's verse. One can awaken her, the other cannot. Both of them are free. A God mask, a devil mask. The failure is wonderful indeed. One can awaken her, the other cannot. Both of them are free. Each one of us has that freedom to be exactly who and what we are in this moment. to do exactly what we do in this moment. A horse can run, but it can't play the violin. That is its freedom. A snake can crawl, but it can't fly. That is its freedom. A prairie dog can burrow, but it can't climb a tree. That is its freedom. I can write a pretty decent sentence, but I'm no good at differential equations. That is my freedom. How sad that we destroy this wonderful freedom with our desires for other. How much time do we waste wanting stuff we don't have, wanting to be that which we are not? How much of our lives do we spend wishing we were someone else, somewhere else? Buddha has his place. Manjushri has his place. Momyo has his. You and I and the woman in samadhi each have our own place, our own function, our own divinity. The 10,000 things all return to the one. At the same time, each of those 10,000 things has its own function and its own divinity. We can accord appropriate honor to each, not in spite of the differences, but because of them. God masks, devil masks, the failure is wonderful indeed. God masks and devil masks. We have to be careful here. This is a dangerous koan. It's possible to demonstrate it pretty well in Dokusan and yet still be blind. The four characters presented here are just that. Characters. Beings with characteristics and attributes. That is necessary for this drama to take place. Expedient means. But if we attach to those beings as beings with characteristics and attributes, we are stuck in ignorance and delusion. If you look for Buddha as a fixed entity outside yourself, you will not find Buddha. If you look for Manjushri outside yourself, you will not find Manjushri. If you look for Momyo outside yourself, you will not find Momyo. And what about the young woman? Where will she be found? God masks, devil masks, Buddha masks, Manjushri masks, masks of men, women, bodhisattvas, all masks. Wu Men says, when you meet the Buddha, you kill the Buddha. When you meet Bodhidharma, you kill Bodhidharma. How do you do that? Throw away the masks. See clearly. What is the ultimate nature of Buddha, Manjushri, the young woman, Momyo? What is the ultimate nature of yourself? We have one more day in this session to find out. Just keep practicing. Together with all beings, we realize the way.